Welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, it's Apple delivery. Everybody's home today. UK Mail are delivering as we speak across the UK, and we have some pleased people, not to mention Steve Naber, who's just called me from his phone, via his phone, aka Dick Tracy style, and I got to say, I was impressed. I haven't even seen the watch yet, and I was impressed. So there's a lot happening. Joining me to discuss Apple Delivery Day, top panel, top left, Chuck Latournis, back again. How you doing, pal?
Oh, terrific. Thanks. I keep looking out the window waiting for the delivery guy to show up, and then I realize I didn't order the watch, so I won't be getting
There was a guy yesterday, Flawless Fox, on Twitter, and I should apologize to him because I wound him up a bit, and he was getting pissed off because people who hadn't ordered until well into like the 18th of April were getting their Apple Watch today. He said, I ordered at 2 minutes past eight and I'm not getting it. And people who ordered on the 18th are getting it. I'm like, I didn't even order it and I'm getting mine. Good man.
But you're saying people that actually ordered on the 18th?
Yeah, there was people that ordered long after.
Especially if you ordered.
Yeah, there's people that ordered days after and still got it. They've got it coming today. So
yeah, very strange.
It is.
Well, it's got we'll to have a lot to that. Do with which one you ordered, which one they have supply.
And I think it's distribution and location, but we'll talk about that in a second. Next thing, Adam, how you doing, mate? Not on Chopper Vision this week. Glad to see.
Good. I'm working on it. Reset some things. I reinstalled my operating system because things were looking really messed up under the hood. So hopefully that took care of it.
And the good thing is as well, I think it's probably because you got the clock working in the background.
Yeah.
That was it was throwing the universe.
I didn't wind it up.
It just started.
Yeah, let's do that for a better shot.
Ooh, it just started by itself. Beneath him, it's Doc. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing fantastic. First of all, I'd like to check how's the audio today. I did a little change up. I won't make everyone hyper nervous, but I busted out the old Allen and Heath Z12X and tried to route the audio a little bit better, see what happens.
Well, the thing is, dude, the audio is absolutely lush, mate. You've never sounded more more superb, but your video's shit, so.
Yeah, I kind of did it for Bronwyn. You know, she hypes me up on the voice mode.
Right, okay, so it's done for Bronwyn's moist list. Excellent, okay. And we've made him wait. Last but by no means least, it is Don McAllister, who I think you are on a level with Mother Teresa in terms of restraint, mate.
Who, me?
Yeah, I am indebted to you already enough, but now you've sat with an unopened box for how long? 30 minutes?
Oh, 15 minutes now. 20 minutes.
20 minutes. So here we go. This is it. We have a live unboxing of the Apple Watch, and not just any Apple Watch. It's going to be a gold Apple Watch because it's Don McAllister's.
No, it's not that.
It's an edition, rose gold.
At least unless, they might have surprised me and just sent one through, but you know, you never know. You never know.
Right, come on then, Don. At your misery.
While he's doing that, I got to make a comment. So somebody pointed out, for some reason, my packing information shows the weight of my package at 1.8 pounds, and most other people are seeing their package at 1 pound. I'm not sure why I have an extra 0.8 pounds in my
Apple Watch, because gold is so much heavier.
Yeah, what's in Cali, so you're probably getting that extra kilo because I'm coming from Humboldt.
You know what it is, don't you? It's Chris Breen has put in a good word for us all.
Bro, you know,
I'm hoping maybe there's just a second one in there. Oh, I only paid for one, so.
Yeah, that'd
be
cool.
Go ahead and unbox it while you're talking amongst yourself.
No, let's not give me focus on the box.
I'm trying to say you've waited long enough.
Okay, unboxing. Here we go.
Let's go. Let's go.
No. So, bit of cardboard stuff. Right? Nice little foam bits inside. Oh, yeah, it's a cube. I've seen a lot of the unboxing today, and the only ones I've seen have been the sports, which is in a...
Yeah, so that's a steel then, Don. You ordered a steel.
This is a cube. This is a stainless steel one. Yeah, this is a stain with a Milanese loop.
Oh, I love the Milanese loop. It just
won't. Oh, right, and they've actually, the actual box itself says it's the 48. Actually, it does say 40. No, 42. I keep saying 42 with a Milanese loop. So it actually says it on the box, which is
Otherwise, they'd never find it, Don. It's a white box.
No, actually having the strap as well.
I mean,
I'm confused with the number of different straps and how they... Because I must have had to
get in.
It's a bit weird.
Getting
anyway,
an Apple
Watch coming off.
Getting an Apple Watch today is a complete lottery to start with, without just having blank white boxes.
Nice.
Right.
There's a note there that says, "Don, thanks for teaching me how to use Yosemite." Signed, Tim.
That would be good, wouldn't it? Right. Yeah. So that's the top off, and then it looks a bit like an Apple leaving. Oh, that comes out like that.
You bought a router.
Sorry. You ordered a Mac Mini there.
Yeah, it's an Apple TV. Or a Mac Mini, one of the two.
The new Apple TV.
Nice little green little dot on the side to show you where you can pull the plastic stuff off. So that opens up.
See, that's it. The Apple Watch is too complicated. You need a green dot to know which one to open.
A green dot. And then, hopefully...
Ewan, where's the music, man?
Look at that.
Bow, bow.
Oh, that's weird. It's just floating around.
Free floating. That's shit.
Whoa, I don't like that.
I think that would, I mean, it goes.
Yeah, it's, sorry, I was going to say, it should be pinched between the upper and lower case. There's a little slot on both of them.
Thing there, but,
send it back, Don. Just send it back.
No.
Environment. That saved the, like, 8 styrofoam trees.
Oh, that looks, shit.
I just, these are, this magnet's really strong, but it's actually
That's a good thing.
Take that off there.
Oh, it's tied on. It's not okay.
Yeah, well, it's got a piece of plastic.
Yeah, because it needs to be really strong.
So that can go.
Don, you're like me. In the builder arms department, you weren't scared the Melanese was going to like yank your hairs, because I was totally afraid of that.
Not really, because I'd seen some reports of people who'd been to try it on. They said it was okay, and I actually did get to go and try one on. It's pretty good. It's right. It's certainly not as shiny as people thought. I know a lot of people have said it doesn't look as sort of blingy as they might think, but dunk, there we go. It's on.
Wow.
It's on. I don't know how you switch it on, mind you.
Well, it'd be the start button.
Touch the crown, mate.
Crown, yeah.
Yeah. No, is it the main
I thought it was the side button.
I thought it would be the main button, I have to say. Press and hold till you get to the Apple symbol. There you go.
If
we can we see the clarity of the screen? Is that what's it like? Is it as good as an iPhone in terms of clarity? Oh, I know it's not.
Yeah, it's the resolution and the definition very much so. It's still a high DPI screen. I think it's a similar dots per inch as the iPhone, but it's coming up. I've got a little Apple.
Don, do us a favor, lad. Remove the knife from your crotch region. I'm a little scared.
All right, it's pointing the other way. It's okay. It's not.
So, as somebody pointed out to me a little while ago,
while that's booting up, what else have we got in this? That's quite nice. Nice little thing for the charger.
Now, have you had a look at the charger? Because it's the new style one, isn't it? And there's been a bit of debate about how good this is.
There's two different types. There's a stainless steel one or a aluminium one, which this one is, which you get with the stainless steel. But the Sport comes with a plastic, apparently.
Could you repeat that material, Mr. Ive? What was that?
The aluminum.
Yeah.
Thank you. Right, so there we go. Oh, that's quite nice, actually. So that's the charger.
That's a long
USB
cable.
Connection. Oops, I'm too high.
I guess they're figuring you're on a bedside table.
Silver lollipop. And this bit, which I think is really cool. Let's put that there. Which is the UK plug. Because it's got this. Got these legs that flip out. As shown by Will Carling, but... Ooh!
It comes together. All right, that's cool.
Ooh, I like that.
Right, now I think that... Because I said last week on the podcast that you couldn't do a single sprocket because it opens the doors, and they've got round that by them working together. So that's perfectly legal. I get that now, yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. Right, so my watch has come up. It's saying... Right,
can you spend a bit of time just setting it up now, and then can you see if you can call me on Dick Tracy mode?
Yeah, sure, yeah, okay.
And we'll see how we go.
I'll give that a go, because I'm going to have to pair it with my phone and stuff, so
yeah.
I'll do that, and I'll give you a ring back.
You hack on with that, mate,
give you his number out on the air.
Don's got my number. I'm pretty sure Don's got my number, so if not, I can always DM it.
Right, no worries.
If only there was a way I could send a secret message to Don.
Hey, did you hear about the new DM changes on Twitter? Like now, if you press the button, if you're dumb enough to press the button, odd people can DM you and you can let them through, and then you can decide later if you want to like block them or not. You don't have to necessarily follow folks anymore in order to get a DM.
Yeah, no, that's not good. You should be following people. First of all, our heart goes out to whoever this is, because they pissed off their girlfriend and they had a bad separation, and his girlfriend took it personally, whatever he'd done. I'm guessing that the shagging another woman involved, if that, for that picture to work. But she tweeted out on @foolishnessfly2 that this was his entire Apple collection of stuff, and it was in a bathtub full of water.
So the message in Japanese basically said, we'll see if the getting all your Apple stuff a bath will teach you not to be basically a two-timer. I mean, roughly translated, the rest I won't say on the cast, but I can read what she says, and I read it, and I'm dying laughing and then bleeding at the same time. there's a whole Mac. You got the iMac shot?
No, but the guy did tweet back afterwards that the airport extreme had never worked so well. This one's shit.
Hilarious. There's another shot that goes with that, where she literally stuck his entire 27-inch iMac, because, you know, the tubs in Japan are relatively small in that type of place, which is a smaller style apartment. And she put the 27-inch iMac in and filled the tub, and the water goes just above the top of it, and it's hilarious looking.
Yeah, it's bad news. It's bad news. Bad juju.
Yeah, it looks like the airport is sticking out the top, right? It's not all the way submerged.
I love the fact that she put it in with the cable still attached.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like,
you know what? Just put it all in a bag of rice. It'll be fine.
So there you go. Hearts out to him. I suppose that really kind of story of the week has got to be the Angela Arendt's video that isn't anymore. You can't get it because it's been taken down. It's her in a grove of trees out the back at Apple. And I've got to say, I've never seen anyone so jumpy on camera as this lady.
Wasn't that strange? I was really surprised, because she's always... I'd always been led to believe that she was, you know, super, super confident, capable, but she didn't come across like that at all.
Here's what I read into that, right? She's really super jumpy. So I reckon... she's been called in somewhere, and all of the head honchos are there, and they're going, listen, we need someone to take the fall, Angela. And I'm afraid, you know, retail, it's you. You're going to have to do it. So you're going to make a video for us, all right, that's going to leak out, and no one's going to know about it. And you could just see see Tim behind the camera. And her body language really made me think this. She's there, and she finishes the video and says, so great, everything will be fine, and we'll be back on track. And someone goes, cut. And Steve says, okay, fine, that's good enough. Let her kids go. No, that's what I got. I may be overreading things, I have to admit, but I that was the weirdest thing I have ever seen in my entire life, especially out of Apple. But basically it said, yeah, we know we screwed up.
Yeah, well, they did. And it always happens in retail. Ever since Ron Johnson, I don't think they've really had a good head of retail, and they seem to be losing their way a little bit. I'm not one to read a lot into the tea leaves, but there's been a lot of backtracking from AA over the past few weeks.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of humble pie gone into that. And there was a great tweet this week that I thought was absolutely stunning. I'll read it out as well as show it on screen. It was put up on a forum where people were complaining about the emails that they got saying they might not get their device. So this is what we know. Millions of Apple supporters stayed up late to order the watch. Some are getting it Friday and some aren't within the 4th to the 5th date. Some people who had delivery dates in June will get theirs on the 24th. High-end boutiques will also have them on Friday, but Apple stores won't. Celebs that don't even know what the Apple Watch is already have theirs. Yep, they screwed the pooch on this one. And there's pictures of people lining up outside boutique stores. And that's clearly an Arendt's thing, I would have said. No question that that's her guidance and decision. And
here's a funny thing about that. Sorry. I want to comment on that, because you've seen those pictures, right?
I've seen a couple of pictures, yeah.
So to me, it looks like all those scalper people who they tried to stop at their own Apple retail stores are now over at these high-end boutiques, which is hilarious to me. And it's probably actually exactly what Apple wanted, because one of the points of doing all this was to stop that kind of stuff from going on. I really think, I mean, Apple's not saying that officially, but it had to be part of the motivation.
I mean, what percentage of people at Apple stores are scalpers?
For the last couple iPhone launches, a large percentage. If you had gone and were waiting in line, and just if you talk to people casually, I'm not going to scalp.
But working at the retail store here in Honolulu, being an international base as well, very common for the attendants from Singapore Airlines, Philippines Airlines, and China Airlines to come in and buy like 6 phones at a time.
Yeah.
Right. It was very common. And as a matter of fact, last year when two years ago, when the iPhone 5Cs came out, I remember seeing all the ladies come in and they're standing in line to get, they were at, on that particular model, were allowed to buy 10 a pop, and they would buy 10 a pop all cash USD and take it back because it's just not going to be available in their country for a long time. Now, with the new money that's going on in Manila and where I stay in Shenzhen, whenever I go, the new money sect is so huge there because people who now factories or have high-end engineering jobs, like they don't want to wait. And they're paying about $1,200 for an iPhone 5C. And it's not even a thought to them because of the amount of orders that, you know, they're getting, say, working in a glass factory or something, you know? So I don't know if that's the same as the guys that go on eBay and try to, like, you know, get 10 grand for a brand new phone because somebody's super rich and super lazy. But we weren't really calling them scalpers because that's what we were told from corporate. We're allowed to sell them.
Yeah. No, I went to iPad Air launch, and there wasn't a single person there that wasn't buying it for themselves because there was massive chatter in the line and people excited to see and talk about it and stuff, and it wasn't just a group of people queuing blindly. I didn't see any scalping that was going on.
Yeah, I think the iPads and the iPhones are different, though. I was at the 6 launch, not the launch, a couple of days after, and my son and I went early because he had to go back to college, and we were trying to pick up a phone for him, and there were about 10 people in line, and we were the only people buying the phone for ourselves.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's not good. US thing, I don't know.
It's just funny, you got these high-end stores, you know, a bunch of scalpers.
Yeah. Don, you were going to say something there?
Pardon?
Were you going to say something there?
No, I was just laughing with Adam because I agree. I think the problem is, I mean, I don't mind the way they've launched the watch sort of online, and I can appreciate why they've done it because of the, you know, it is a new category. They didn't know how many of which they're going to sell. So the easiest thing for them to do is to do it online. But I think where they sort of let themselves down is just not keeping people informed and keeping everyone waiting and just a general lack of clarity as to, you know, who's actually got the watch, when it was going to arrive, and, you know, the reasons why there are so many long delays for some people. When it all boils down to it, it's the strap that seems to have caused the problem. You know, possibly I think they might have made a misstep by having too many sort of straps available on launch. I know they wanted to position it as a fashion item, but, you know, you're only really talking about 8 different watches with the different finishes. All the other complication is due to the different straps that they're putting out there. So, yeah, I can understand how they got themselves into a bit of a pickle, and it shouldn't really have happened. The thing that irritates me, though, is the MacBook, the new MacBook launch. I can't see why they've screwed that up so badly as well, launching it, announcing it when they did, and then trying to do that all online as well. That just seems totally unnecessary because, I mean, they're well experienced with launching MacBooks, you know, Macs and computers. So why that didn't follow the usual pattern of a standard Apple product launch, I've no idea. And I think that's come back to bite them, sort of doing both just online. I think that's really, you know, that wasn't very good at all.
But you would have thought they could have coped online, though. That's...
Yeah, you would think so. It seems to me that the Apple Watch, they've pre-announced when they had to because they had to get in, and it was quite clever the way they did the store app where you could favorite the ones you want. So that must have given them an addition of the sort of way people were leaning towards with the different configurations. But the MacBook itself, I can't really see why they, unless they just announced it too early before they had enough stock or things went bad on them. They could have just handled that as a normal launch and not messed about with all this online stuff.
Yeah, and then on top of all that, they also iOS. I mean, new ones is 8.3 for iOS and then the 10.10.3 Yosemite. It was like, you know, how much more can you dump on yourselves? It was almost like they were asking for trouble.
They always do that, though. I mean, everything's, I call it, you know, Apple pukes out products or updates. Yeah, so they like do everything at, all at once, and I haven't yet to really fully understand why that is.
Yeah, and I thought they got smarter about it. At one point, I think they did delay one of the OS launches until after something had shipped for a little bit. But no, this time it was just everything all at the same time and just created a real cluster something.
Well, by the way, my watch is still syncing at the minute. That's why
that's
it's...
That's all right. Okay, no problem. Update.
It's almost ready. I'll get an alert when
no,
it's
no,
finished.
No
so.
Problem at all. October Magic saying in the chat room, the watch and the bands should have been a separate product. So you get a standard watch with a standard band, and then you get the band afterwards if you want to go and buy it as an add-on, which I think wouldn't have worked as far as... I suppose you'd have had a decent band for the steel and a decent band for the gold, and you know, different from the... You wouldn't have started it with the sports band at all. But that would that's quite an interesting one. They are doing a sports... They're doing a band exchange only, though. The retail store has been told that if someone comes in and says, I really love my watch, I'm not trying to change my watch, but the band just doesn't fit, they're willing to do a band-only exchange on it. So I don't know what... I mean, I would have thought you'll have to pay a little bit extra if you want a bit more, but...
Well, how much simpler would it have been for them, not for us, but for them, if they'd have just, you know, released the watch with... Not called sports band, you know, just called it, you know, the standard band or something, and then, you know, if people wanted to spend extra on... more fancier bands, do it later on down the track. I mean, I suppose they might have enough money on the table because perhaps people, once they had the standard band, wouldn't have spent £200 on a, you know, a leather band if the other one was enough. So that might be the reason why, but I'm sure it would have been much more simpler for them if they would have simplified the number of bands available on launch and then sort of perhaps promoted the extra bands later on.
You know, I agree with everybody and what everyone's saying about the fact that maybe they bit off too much many choice, but you know, the funny thing is just the way that people in general treat Apple products and Apple launches. Had they only come out with a handful of bands and a handful of colors, people would have talked all kinds of about that, and then they would have said something like, well, the reason why they only sold 3 million in the beginning is because they only had like 3 bands to pick from. They should have had more bands. And it's funny, but that's just the way people treat it. And I do think that is a great idea what October Magic stated. But also, I also think that that would also complicate things because now you're going to, people like in your environmentalist guys would complain, well, what are all the people going to do with the bands that they're not going to use? Like, oh, why don't they give it to little kids who cannot eat, you know? I mean, I could just see the headlines. So although this product launch was probably a black eye for the way Apple normally does things, I think that once it settles out, it will settle out faster than what we say saw for the gold iPhone and the second gold iPhone. It will settle out longer, as we're noticing by, I was supposed to get mine on the 24th of May and I'm getting in 2.4 hours. So I can definitely see where that worked. And really, if you know the way Apple works and you know the way Apple launch things work, the next time they announce anything like this, I will make sure, again, I pick the ugliest color possibly available. You'll guarantee get one and switch it out somewhere within your 30-day window.
I agree with most of what you're saying, Doc. But I think, too, I mean, this is a new process for them. I think they're gonna take away and reassess, and they're going to have learned a lot from this whole process, and this is how they're going to be doing things moving forward. And it will get better. I think they also are learning, you know, in the same learning curve on the MacBook, right? We've seen same sorts of problems. And getting back to what Don says, I think the biggest issue that they had is the complete lack of transparency that they gave people. You know, they let confusion slip out there and then didn't address it. Like, From the very beginning, once people had their orders in, it was like, what's this? Why do I have a window? You know, I had my order in 2 minutes after it was set. They had said publicly these things are going to be, you know, going out on the 24th, yet everybody's getting this window. So that immediately started confusion. And then that just kept downward spiraling because, you know, shipping notices weren't going out. And then people found a backdoor way through the UPS My Choice thing to figure out, you know, did mine ship? Did mine not ship? And then you started seeing, you know, these letters going out to some people, but not to everyone. And they could have avoided the whole entire thing by coming out up front. You know, Tim Cook could have done an open letter, posted it on, said, hey, look, we have a new system. We're working through it. You know, stand in there, you know, hang in there. You know, we're going to get these out to everybody, but, you know, this is what's going on.
I think the thing is that people can't rationalize in their own minds why some are delayed and some aren't. And some, as I said, we got Fall of Phlox was yesterday saying, you know, he placed his at bang on 8 o'clock. And then someone who placed it days later is getting it today when they shouldn't be.
So, so hang on open a letter and tell people why. I mean, yeah, yes, no, people are still going to be peeved, but at least there's some understanding and they can, you know, have something to take away. Okay, well, that's messed up, but at least I know what's going on.
But hang on a second. And let me finish that because point is there's a logic thing within that. So people could go, okay, well, I can rationalize the fact that I've picked something that's a popular end device, so the Black Sport, for example, so therefore the demand for that is higher, therefore they don't have as many of those, therefore that some of those people won't get those, whereas someone who's picked the gaudy green one is going to get theirs in their sports band. But the one thing you would have said is the more expensive watches would be harder to would be easier to get. But the interesting thing is Don is in Liverpool and ordered at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm taking it, Don.
Oh, yeah.
A steel, which is a higher-end one with a Milanese strap. And one of the followers that I've spoken to this afternoon, he's in London, and he's ordered a steel with a black strap, and he's not getting his today. So you would have thought, hang on, if there's a logic to this at all, it's the fact that there would be higher-end versions more readily in London, and Londoners would get priority over everyone else because that's where the stock or store would be. But you wouldn't have expected a huge popular one like the sport watch that Steve's got and just called me on to be delivered, and someone who's bought a steel in London to not get a steel. You would have thought the logic's just not there. That should have happened, and it didn't. And that's the problem. People have no understanding in their own minds. There is no logic that goes along with it, which ties into the fact then that, as you said, Adam, there isn't a letter either. Because the letter can't explain it, maybe. Who knows?
You know, I think what's going to happen is roughly in about 2 weeks, because sometimes when you're doing supply chain management, you're doing forensics on the supply chain management, it does take a while to find out what the hangups are. And I'm sure they have some ideas, but in order to know exactly what it is, once they pin it down, I do feel that there will probably be somewhat of a pseudo public apology, if not a direct letter from Tim. Hey, you know, hey, gang, we love you guys. You've been supporting us forever. This really doesn't feel good with us, but we want to let you know we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to bump you up an extra 20 gigs on your iCloud storage or something. I really do feel the Tim that we know now versus he knew before will address this once he knows exactly the right answer and doesn't have to give, to use a UN phrase, a bollocks excuse. And I do believe that he will address it when he has all the information in place. And what makes me think of that is yesterday, you know, totally off topic, but yesterday our president came out and apologized for something that kind of screwed up in January. But he said he waited a long time until he knew exactly what happened before he came out and made the apology. Not that they were trying to hide anything, but they wanted to make sure that they knew. So when they put the apology out, it was heartfelt and meant, because the worst that could happen is that they apologize now and then they find out later the reason is different and Business Insider runs that story. And then they'll be like, oh, they even lied. I'd rather wait to get the real apology than to have them rush to judgment.
You know, so, don't you? You know that Apple have forced Barack Obama into issuing that apology to distract from the fact that they completely screwed up the Apple and MacBook launch. That's what it is.
Hey, you know, just I want to throw out, an apology from Apple is not unprecedented, right? So when the first iPhone came out at $600 or whatever it was, I think that was $600, and I bought one. And everybody, you know, they lowered the price after a while. Everybody complained about it. And Apple turned around and gave us all $100 store credit. When the antenna gate scandal happened, they turned around and eventually gave everybody a bumper for their phone. So, you know, even when Steve was there, Steve may have fought.
Like, Steve wasn't the one that was doing that bumper, I'm promising that.
He was like, he was the one.
They're all wrong.
Right? So, you know, but Apple has done things to try to make good. I don't know if they'll do it this time or not. I think this is a very, very different circumstance in terms of fulfilling orders and the complexity that we all just talked about, you know, regarding different watch straps and different colors and different levels of the watch. It must have been a logistical nightmare. You know, if maybe they should have enlisted Amazon's help on this. I don't know if that would have been possible. But, you know, it's a really different thing than just shipping out, you know, a MacBook with one of three different configurations.
Well, I think
storage space in it.
I think to be fair as well, though, on that, and to be brutal a little bit, you know, this is Apple. This is not the first product they've ever launched. Also, the thing to go, oh, you've got to remember that this is a whole new category. No, hang on, it's a piece of consumer electronics in a box. Now, if you wanted, if you want to make a piece of consumer electronics in a box with five variants, then you know how to logistically track that and manage that so that you can produce that and vend it and stock control it. If you're stupid enough to make something that's got an infinite number of mashups almost, or say 50 different mashups, you're now putting 50 different products in boxes to sell them. If you can't track and control that stock product and that device, that's your own fault for thinking of doing that in the first place. You should have got it right before you did it. You shouldn't be going, oh, no, it's a whole new category. No, it's not. It's you tried to launch 50 products and you can't.
And Tim did say that it's more than 50. I forget what the number was. Deeps out at the original launch, he talked about how many variants there were going to be. And if I remember correctly, there's definitely more than 50. And I won't say it's a new category, because I agree with you on that, Ewan. And it's definitely no excuse. That is not a good enough excuse, because that's too easy of an excuse. That's like, you know, well, never mind the analogy. We all get it. What I will say, though, is, again, not a great excuse, but for Angela, this is really her first real crack at two major difficult product launches, and maybe she's learning the hard way. This is not the same thing as weird color striped fashion wear, you know? So I think that's going to be a little bit of a thing, too. And we found that out, even the way she thought she was doing the right thing by speaking out, but she didn't do it the Apple way. And I guarantee you somebody pulled her in the corner, Tim, and it's like, yo, look, AA, that's not how we roll. Look, this is what we say and how we act, and we're composed. You don't go out there, you know, fresh having like 80 cups of coffee and try to do a video.
No one's seen Angela for 4 days, actually. She's not there.
I rarely agree with Ewan's conspiracy theories, but he is dead solid on point with this particular one, and even one of the best ones at defending the things that Apple do, because I've worked there long enough to know the internal workings. This one is definitely a black eye, and it's actually, as a long Apple person and an Apple employee before, this really hurts me when I read the comments in the chat. Like, I want to reach through the pond and give them a hug, because you're right. No letter, no UPS notification, no order status change. And like my best friend Jerome, he ordered at 3 a.m. Like, we were laughing because he got in literally like 2 minutes before me on the app, and we're sitting side by side, and he got the black on black stainless. And I was a little bit jealous because I ended up having to go for the Xbox green piece of crap. I even tweeted it out like that, like, look, I'm going to rock this Xbox being green piece of crap with pride, because that's all I could get right now. And this whole 2 weeks, we've been laughing and joking, and I've been kind of the butt of these jokes, but yet I'm getting my watch, even though I was windowed out because of just app crashing by more than 2 weeks. And the same with macOS Ken. He and I have been chatting back and forth, and, you know, even Ken, like, we're both PO'd because he had to get white. And now when I tweeted that my credit card been processed, and then I text Ken and I said, Ken, go check your credit card. And he said, yeah, my card been processed too. I'm like, cool, you're getting your watch on time. That we're getting our stuff, and somebody like Jerome, who literally got his order in while it was still zero zeros on the clock, he's not going to get his, and he has no idea where it's coming from. And that's very unlike Apple, and it doesn't feel good. And I think that DePhoto did a great thing by sending a letter to Tim. And I hope someone answers him back, because that is definitely not an experience in my many, many years of doing this that I wouldn't wish on anyone. I wouldn't even wish that on Righty Boy.
I think Angela, for the next 6 weeks, a secretary is going to be saying, hello, Angela, I've got Tim on the line for you. And there's going to be like a little bottom burp and a bad smell in the room for it. Oh, what's that? Maybe they need the drains cleaning. Hi, Tim. And because I think she's just like, you know, I wonder where the buck is going to stop with this one. But I've heard a lot of good things from people that work at Apple saying that she cares more than any of the others seem to have done. She is interested. She is trying very hard. She does care about the staff rather than Barrett, who was just like, you know, mush, row harder. and Barrett's not a good example because, I mean, it's like, you know, he's saying you haven't had a good head of retail since Ron Johnson. It was only Browett and Angela Aronson. Barrett doesn't count. I mean, it's... So. I hope I never have to do any work for him.
I like Angela. I think she's doing a decent job.
I think she'll survive this. I don't think going to... She's not going to get canned over it, not by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. And she probably has got an awful lot still to bring that's absolutely excellent. But there's kind of been a few assumptions about how the fashion world works and how the technology world works, and the two haven't meshed. Most definitely.
I do want to point out, too, you realize everybody outside of our community is like, and probably rightfully so, just looking at this and watching this going, what a bunch of entitled pieces of, you know what?
Why?
Like, if this is, because we're complaining about our inability to get, you know, a super high end, or not super high end, but a very expensive, you know, bit of electronics. You know, on a certain day, yeah. You know, it is. There is a little bit of that. You have to admit. You know, I'm okay with it. It doesn't bother me. They can call me that, but it is. I mean, I'm whining about, you know, if I wasn't getting mine, I recognize this, I would be fully whining about the fact that I'm not getting it. Right. But everybody will eventually get one, like Doc's thing. They sort it out. Everybody's going to have theirs. It's going to blow over. This happens, you know, a lot in our community. And, you know,
yeah, I think I just said before,
it is what it is. Time, it's frustrating as it is for people.
They will have learned the lessons, and the next launch that they have, even if they try and go down the same route, they'll probably handle it a lot more successfully than they have this one. But no, I agree. I completely agree.
I think the one thing to say is that Aaron's in that video was talking about the issues with the retail, and that's why it was only online. And I think it is absolutely fair to say that had you launched people with a watch at the store, with people walking in and saying, I want this one, it would have been an absolute bun fight. It would have been just unbearable and unmanageable. I think all the products that Apple has ever launched, the watch is the one that least lends itself to a store launch. So
I agree, but
especially with the very...
To some extent, the complexity is of their own making, though, right? I want to make one more observation. Don, you said the box of your Apple Watch had printed on it not only what type of watch the band as well.
Yeah, that surprised me actually, because that just shows you the level of complexity they've had to go to facilitate this. So on the actual box itself, it's got a 40-millimeter case, stainless steel, blah blah blah, and then the Milanese loop. So it actually is boxed as, you know, a complete unit. It's not.
Yeah,
it might have been easier to sell it as the 42-mil watch and the strap separately. In which case, how easier? You know, you think that would be a lot easier, but then you've got the whole aspect of, you know, how do you actually get people to, when they're not used to it, fit the strap to the watch? But it's not insurmountable.
Is that printed on the box, though? Nuts. It's not a label.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it is actually.
Yeah, this one's clear. Yeah, clarify
printed
that,
on the box, yeah. Yeah,
but that's I mean, that's the Apple attention to detail that they have always had.
Sorry, Chuck, make your point.
I was saying that's insane, because that's another complete component that has to be tracked. And, you know, and figured out and matched
and stock control,
the contents and stock control and all that kind of stuff.
No.
So, it's like I said, crazy. You know, a lot of this is of their own making, because God forbid, put a sticker on a box.
Yeah, no, I just said sticker.
Well, but that's painting, you know, the back of the fence.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes and no, because if they came in a crappy box, people would complain about it.
They don't have
so that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. This is the attention to if it wasn't printed on there, if it was just a slapped on sticker, Apple doesn't do things that way. That's, you know, that is making sure all the microchips are perfectly evenly spaced on the Apple One. No.
Well, the other thing that indicates is that the box is the finishing point in a production line, and they have a. I bet it's almost like food processing, where they end up, they make a certain type of watch on that line, or they make a certain type of that watch on the line for a day, and then the following day they'll make a different type of watch on that line for the day, and the boxes get changed over. So you can see that being an end-to-end you know, it's a line into a box and out, and the boxes are all pre-printed. And if they screw up and they've got some boxes left over when they go to the next production run, if it's not a separated line each, then they go. Is this manufactured in California or is this manufactured in China as well, Don? Because there was talk about the fact that the watch hand would be Arizona.
I have stood on the Foxconn line, and it is a pretty amazing thing. And it comes out dry and ready to wrap. And I literally watched it go in as paper, get all the cuts done, get all the ink thrown on, and then wrapped around the piece of, I won't call it laminated cardboard, but there's like several layers of cardboard that get sandwiched together and squeezed. And the pressure and the heat fuses that into the thick cardboard, and then they wrap it with the outer cardboard. Pretty impressive stuff. So I definitely agree that there is a certain, you know, level of nice about making sure that it's all there and it's all printed. And it's definitely, again, like you said, not the way that Apple does things, Adam. But, you know, I also think that there's something nice about getting your box and it has all of the right information on the side. And it just feels, and I mean, granted, I don't think the boxes is what held it up. I really do believe it's the bands. No. As I believe Don or Chuck pointed out earlier. But yeah, what an amazing amount of detail that we're used to from them. And then, so if they did it any other way, I swear people would probably have babies.
I wanted to comment when Ewan was mentioning about the production line and stuff like that. And even with this box thing, Ewan, like you're saying, yes, they're going to have individual lines for individual watches. And something I think that more likely is one of the elements that the production is even different materials, you know, and different bands, I would imagine, have different times in terms of production. Like that Milanese loop, I'm sure takes way longer to produce one of those than it does, say, the fluoroelastomer. I don't know for sure, but my assumption would be that, or even like the steel link bracelet, and even the casing, like the steel casing, milling that and producing that has to take longer, very likely, than the aluminum on, just based on the hardness of the material that you're dealing with.
What's the carat on the gold one? Is it 18 or 9?
It's 18, but then it's hardened as well. They've done some other metallurgy things to actually harden it.
Yeah, no.
So, and same thing with the steel and even the aluminum. I think the aluminum's even hardened, you know, more than standard aluminum. But, you know, at the end of the day, it'd be interesting, and we'll never know for sure, but my guess is that each one of those lines that has to run separately runs at much rates, even with the bands and the thing. So the number of raw component materials that you can produce, depending upon combination, has to be different. You know, in my mind, has to be different. I can't imagine the one is being produced in, you know, X number of minutes.
Yeah, no. I've got a back dock up there, by the way. I used to work at a paper mill around the corner here in Birmingham called Kappa. And they had a paper machine where they would pour in effectively crap at one end that would be squished out as a porridge, and then paper would come out the end. And this machine was 100 meters long, and it produced a 5 meter wide piece of paper at the end of it. And it produced 17 miles of paper every 40 minutes. And I said to the guy, so what happens, you know, if it breaks? He said, we just throw it in and we start again. He said, but I said, how long does it go without breaking? He said, the longest we've ever run is 3 weeks without a single paper break. So they've made effectively, they've slit it to put it on the rolls, but the machine has made a continuous sheet of paper at 17 miles every 40 minutes for 3 weeks, which is pretty impressive. I don't know how far that is. But
newspaper rolls, man. Newspaper rolls have to be brought in by something that's akin to a train. And it runs inside the thing, and each one, if they unrolled it, is like 7 miles long piece of newsprint.
Yeah.
And the thing weighs, I think it was like 8 tons, if I remember correctly.
Well, it's dense.
It's pretty impressive.
It's funny to hear you guys talking about this. In fact, my college degree is in printing.
Oh, no, not kidding. I was into printing for a long time. I kind of miss it, to be honest with you. One other thing I wanted to point out before we stop beating this horse up. For the life of me, I can't think, with the exception of Nike ID shoes, of another company, the traditional Japanese method of JIT, just-in-time manufacturing, that is able to manufacture on the scale that we're talking about, even with everybody's, oh, Apple is doomed because they only made 3 million for the first week. Name any other company that can make you 3 million customized anything and get them out in the first week. I mean, like,
I think to be fair, Doc, no one's saying Apple's doomed because they only made 3 million, and no one's saying that what they've done isn't an amazing feat. It's just not Apple. It's very un-Apple.
Douchebag analysts. Some of the douchebag analysts are going, I expected more from them.
They're not worth giving airtime to, mate, if they're douchebag analysts.
There you go. Thank you for that.
But I think the point that Chuck made as well the other week, and I still keep coming back to it when I talk to people, you know, the fact that these things are in boutique stores and not in Apple stores, there's a greed that goes along with that I want to see disappear. I want to see that go away because that's not good. That has to leave. The green part that Chuck identified a few weeks back, I think he's dead right with that. And I want to see the greed element that's gone along with this Apple launch, the watch launch, go away. That's not Apple. That's not the way it should be. And it's not the way I want to see that company.
They'll get it sorted. It's just, you know.
Well, okay. As long as it's not, and it's not there, and it won't, then fair enough. They've done some tests in Australia because, of course, Australia is bountiful in its recreation. And they had their watch before everybody else today. And they went for a shower in it. This is PhoneFox took it in and went in the shower. And they said, actually, absolutely sod all wrong with it. So they said, okay, I'll tell you what, next stage up, let's stick it in a bucket of water for 5 minutes. So they stuck it in a bucket of water for 5 minutes and absolutely no adverse effects. And finally, they went for a swim in a swimming pool with it on. And the watch stood up. So all of these fears over it's not waterproof.
You need to be a bit I did see a tweet flick past before. Someone's actually is doubting the validity of that particular video. See if I can find it. But someone said, hang on a minute, this doesn't look quite right.
Okay. But there's...
Okay, I have information on this if you guys
want. Oh, right. Let's hear it.
Okay. So the waterproof rating on the Apple Watch is what's called, the water resistance rating, I guess I should say, is something called IPX7 is the designation. Yep. And technically what that means is it can withstand immersion in water of up to 1 meter for 30 minutes. So you could go in the pool with it for, you know, a couple minutes at less than 1 meter, and theoretically it should be fine.
Yeah, they had a 15-minute swim, it said, in the article.
So they're fine. I mean, that's 50% of its rating. So it technically, it's rated to go 15 minutes longer than that and still survive.
Right, okay. So I've now learned something because my knowledge of IPX has gone up immensely. I now know that there's a rating system for waterproof watches. Superb.
Yep.
Yeah. I posted the link in the chat so you can add it to the show notes so everyone's knowledge can go up together. And next week on Don's, when you get the RSS feed from Don, it will be in there.
The IP coding. Yes, Don, we need a screencast that covers IP ratings.
The real question is how many people are going to test this with their watch. I'm not.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I take my pebble off, and I know my pebble's supposed to be waterproofing thingy. There's chat is also saying that the phone is IP6, which is powerful water jets projected at 12.5 millimeter nozzles against the enclosure, and that's it. So,
it changes very, very quickly when you go up when you do the levels, like what it can handle.
Oh, right. And yeah, there's only actually 8 and 9K right after 7, so that's actually pretty high on the scale if you want to telling somebody, you know, IPX7 is fantastic knowledge, but when you know the scale only goes to 9, it's a big deal. And the difference between 8 and 9 isn't as much, but the 1 to 9 is just ridiculous.
Oh, there's a whole load of mechanical impact-resistant tests as well that go along with this IK number. IP69K will be a whole load more of other stuff. So, it's interesting. I'm going to read that when I'm struggling sleeping. Thanks, fella. Don, how's the setup going? What's the standard?
To be honest, I had to restart it because it lost connection with the phone. So I started again from scratch, but it's about 3/4 of the way through now.
Oh, blimey. Now, see, the thing is, my Pebble loses connection once in a while, but there's a lot of people saying, you're never going to be free of lost connections.
Because it did say as well, I could have installed all the apps that are compatible with the Apple Watch during the setup process, but I skipped that bit. So when it does up, it's just going to have the standard apps on. I saw someone else say it takes forever to actually install all the apps, so I skipped that bit. But it looks as though it's good. quite nearly. Yay, Apple Watch is ready. Look at that.
Brilliant. Now, the other thing that people have asked is that, Donnelly, SS Donnelly on Twitter has said, I'm interested to find out how far apart the phone and the watch can be, because he said, I've been 50 meters away from my phone and when mowing the lawn, and me pebble watch has gone off. So I'm interested to know if it can go any further. I mean, have we got any results back yet from people that have had a go and said, well, I know it says it can only do 10 meters or whatever, but I've had...
It can use Wi-Fi, so remember, right?
If it's on the same Wi-Fi network, it can be anywhere as long as it's on the Wi-Fi. So if you want to test the Bluetooth length, then you'd have to turn off your Wi-Fi network.
Right.
So yeah. what I'm going to do now is work out how to make a phone call with it. So, because you want me to give you a ring?
Yeah, go on, give it a go. If you figure it out.
Well, turn it down, and I'll give you a ring from here and see what happens. Oh yeah, it looks as though it was fairly easy to find. So let's find where's UN ranking. All right. Well, you carry on. I'll give you a ring in a second.
All right, mate.
I'll turn my mic off so that you can hear it. Actually, let's take this off and put it on my wrist.
Oh yeah, you've got to have it in proper full Dick Tracy mode, mate.
Yeah, for sure.
leave.
So let's see. Right. Oh, hang on. Nope. I didn't want to ring her. Nope. Hang on. How'd you go back? Ooh, there's a big learning curve on this. I can see it. There we go.
It doesn't look as horrific.
It's funny to hear that statement come out of Don's mouth.
Yeah. Give me a week. Give me a week and I'll be fine. All right. Actually, I wonder if there's a way of quickly searching through, because I've got quite a few contacts on here, so I'm currently scrolling through.
There we go.
Just use Siri.
Yeah, right. Siri. I was going to say use Siri.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea, isn't it? I found you now, so I'm going to give you a ring. Let's see what happens.
All right. Here we go.
Wait, isn't it give you a bell?
Now, for those that aren't ready, we're testing out Dick Tracy operation on the phone. So Donnie's not talking to me on his phone. He's talking to me on his watch. We'll need the watch in shot for this, Don, as well, when it comes time. Yeah, there we go. Oh, he's calling. If only I knew how to do picture in picture. But I don't. I've got Don's phone number now. Hello, Don. Oh, God, and Bennett, that's exactly like it's on the phone. Done it. Hang on, let me put you on speaker. That sounds incredibly good, Don.
Right, well, I've switched off my mic and I've switched off my headphones, so the only noise I'm getting now is through the phone itself, and I can hear you perfectly fine.
That sounds as good as any phone call I've got from an iPhone.
Awesome.
Now, actually, that's great on broadcast, believe it or not. You can have guests on your show from your wrist, bro. Next speaker, but,
it's perfectly listenable.
So what's it like at your end?
Right, so I can use the crown. No, it's fine. Yeah, it could be louder if I'm honest, but that's turned up to the max now, and I can hear you fine. But I'm in a quiet room. I wouldn't like to try and hear that in a noisy environment because I think I might lose you.
Well, Steve called me from the street, and he said it was fine. He got it held up, in the normal watch position, and he said he could hear me just fine walking down Archway.
Hey, Ewan, did Don just get louder when he turned up the volume?
Weird to be talking into me watch.
Chuck's saying, did you get louder when you turned up the volume, or was it just I got louder?
Well, let me lower it down. Right, does that make any difference to my volume?
No, you're the same.
No.
I see.
No, that's just lowering you down then in that case. So that's just lowering the volume out of the watch itself.
I've got to say, I mean, I've never seen an Apple Watch in the flesh. I'm going to see one a bit later tonight when I see Steve Naber, but that has impressed me. That really has impressed me. The quality of the audio is incredible.
Something I wonder is if we'll find out
Cheerio, Don.
Sorry, I'm cutting off Don.
Sorry, okay. Go ahead, Adam.
I was saying I'm wondering if we'll come to find out that it's smart enough to, when it can, use FaceTime audio, which is infinitely better audio quality than cellular audio. It's smart enough to know, hey, I'm calling an iPhone from an Apple Watch, from an iPhone, I'm going to automatically default to FaceTime audio versus the cellular audio just to get better quality.
Excellent. There we go. I'm back.
Yeah, that's good. The audio quality on that was awesome, mate. Absolutely
excellent.
Awesome.
Oh, good stuff.
Awesome. Apple have also pushed out a whole pile of warranty exceptions which so if you take the phone in with debris under the display or pixels anomalies, they will refund it, or they'll warranty service it. Back cover removed but with no damage or signs of prying, then they will give it back. And if there's any condensation that appears in the heart rate sensor window, then they will also give you a warranty repair. However, and they must, I find it horrible that so many people don't have a watch and they've done this to watches. Chips or cracks in the glass, you can stick it up your ass. Cracked crown caps, you're not getting it either. Extreme abrasions, punctures, holes, buttons or crown damaged or missing from a drop. Missing or removed crown caps, you can get stuffed. Back cover removed with signs of prying. Bent enclosures, so don't stick it in your back pocket like you did with your iPhone 6. And split enclosures or cracks in the back cover or missing removed band releases. There you go.
What do you have to do to bend the enclosure? Well, maybe on the aluminum it wouldn't be too hard, but...
Well, that's pretty bad if it is, but
you guys get irritated at that brand new stuff and go on YouTube and smash it?
Yeah.
Does it bother you at all?
I don't have a watch, and Will It Blend's got three.
Like reality, it kind of bothers me. Like, of course, everyone says, well, they could do whatever they want to, whatever. But I think the reason why it bothers me is the same reason why Chuck was mad, or I won't say mad, perturbed about the like ridiculous 18,000 thing as a point of greed. Like, there's so many people in the world that you could have fed with the watch that you're going to grind up just to be a douche on the internet. That does kind of irk me. But in the same token, the enterprising person in me, because I love the business side of things, I can tell you right now, as a YouTuber, the check you get out of blending up something really, really stupid is going to be worth about 10 of these watches. Matter of fact, if they do it right, they can make enough to buy the gold one after. So I kind of like have a damn that they do, damn that they don't position on it. Yeah. So douchey. I kind of just want to see them and pull them in the back alley, put them on my knee and spank them like, you know, a good uncle should.
I'm with you, but I have a double standard on that because I'm perfectly okay with them tearing them apart for science. Like, I look forward to iFixit ripping it apart.
Yeah, well, Kyle guys do it, iFixit, that's perfectly fine. I agree with that. But being a dick and, like, running it over with a Hummer and, like, putting it in a blender and, like, dropping it from, like the third floor, oh, we want to give it a proper drop test. No, dude. The IP drop test, I believe, is 5 feet and 12 feet. Dropping it from the third story is just ignorant because you haven't dropped anything from the 12th story and it still works.
So what you're saying is if you've got a screwdriver in your hand, then you're okay. But if you've got a blender in your hand, then you're not okay.
Did you see the six that the photographer dropped from like 30 stories and it survived?
Yeah, no, mine's gone over with, I had mine, I've got a tripod, and for some reason, one of the legs has started to just let itself down on the friction stop. It's not working. And I was out the first time I noticed was when I was out on a railway line, and the leg got past the point of balance, and the whole lot went over. I had 70 to 200 mil lens, f2.8 on it, and I had my 6D, and the whole lot went over. And it hit a rail on the way down before landing on... ballast, and it was fine. The only thing that broke was the battery grip. So,
this was like 30 stories out of a building.
They're pretty well. It's a magnesium frame, though, isn't it? They're really strong. The frame is really strong. I think the biggest problem you've got is if you had just the cap on and that's that, or you had a really stubby lens on, it would be okay. If you've got a long lens, then the problem you're going to get is it's just going to completely ruin the bayonet. And but I suppose bayonet's not easy, hard to change.
Sorry, I was wrong. It was 40 stories in Dubai, and he had video running on it, and it came out just bent, slightly bent. Picked it up, no cracked screen, nothing.
Did he close the file as well? So the video is still running.
No, it was still running. It gets going really fast too because it starts flipping. I think sort of side over side because of the wind.
Oh, geez.
You know, it's like by the end it's going so fast. It's just a. And then crack.
Defoto in the chat room is one of the people who's been passed over with the iPhone. Commiserations to him. And he's just put a point in. He's been told by an Apple employee that the steel band shouldn't be mixed with the aluminium enclosure because over time it will warp the aluminium. So Apple doesn't want you doing mix and match on the bands.
Yes.
It looks terrible anyway. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, it doesn't look terrible because I tried it. And but then my buddy and I were talking about it, and then one of the, it's really weird, in my old Apple store, one of the guys that works there is an MIT grad, and he came back and he was so blown out of school that he works at Apple retail as a specialist, like not even as a genius. But as we were talking about it, and I was putting the stainless steel link band on the aluminum watch, and it was only off by a little bit, and I was like, and most people aren't gonna notice it, especially in my nocturnal stompings as a DJ. I was like, you know what? I might just do this. And then, of course, he comes over and he goes, well, you know, the metallurgical properties of blah, blah. I was like, what? Blew my head up. But he's right. It will actually cause problems over time.
You take two things and rub them together, the softer one's going to bend. So there you go.
Not that sure.
There's chemical reactions, I think, that might happen too, some people were saying.
You might need a bit of sweat in that as well. It wouldn't just happen just the metal to metal, would it?
No, I think the sweat would definitely do it, though, because
you'd need a catalyst.
Alkalinity.
We need we must have someone about the network who's metallurgically qualified. Apparently, the Milanese looks good on the Black Sport. So there you go. Except it shouldn't look good because it doesn't work properly because it'll bend. There we go. I am proud to announce that you will not see me podcasting from this studio within a few weeks because I'm on the dotted line and I've got a new studio. It is about 10 doors up from where I live, so I can go and do it and stagger home drunk. I can have a beer fridge there, which I can use. That is the studio. That's the room that's going to have the studio in it with all of it. With me, wife stood there for scale. It's absolutely wonderful. I get three rooms. So there's one there at the top end, and then that's the studio room. And then there's a room to the right that I have no idea what I'm going to do with. And then there's a room to the left there, which is actually the kitchen-y kind of area. But that will be used for something. I don't know. Hospitality, green room. There you go. That'll be it. BTM will be moving. By the time it comes round to the bash, I will be in there and you can come and have a look at it. Have your picture taken in it if you really want. And if anyone's looking desperate for a bed because they haven't got anywhere, then I'm sure we can manage to bed a few people down on that. So
Ewan and Leo Laporte. Wow.
It's the new brick house. There we go. We have a new studio.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Really. Thanks, buddy. I've signed up for it. I can't move in for 6 weeks. So, cause as you can see, there's wires still hanging from the ceiling. None of it's decorated. It's not carpeted or anything, but, in 6 weeks time, I should be in there. So which leads me on to say thank you very much to everyone, for the support and the kind words, because it's great. I really am excited. And if you'd like to donate to Patreon,
you want some help with the rent?
Patreon.com patreon.com/British Tech Network. Then all donations are greatly received. And I think we're going to start a little thing next week called Patreon Heroes, which is going to just highlight a few people that have donated a significant amount, because we've been going for nearly a year now. And I think there's a few people well up at the $20 mark who've been giving it for a year. So I'd like to say thank you to them as well. And I also
got to go up my donation.
No. You do plenty, mate. I also want to say thank you to Arthur and Andrew, because they are two people this week who've got their caricature. Arthur is brilliant. It looks absolutely like him, and it's fantastic. The lens really caught it well. And that is absolutely Andy Vaughan. They both had their caricature done, and they love it. They absolutely love it. If you'd like your caricature done, then go to just send us an email to btncaricatures@gmail.com. And if you put that in, then we'll put you in touch with Len, and we'll give you all the details of what you need to do. You need to send three pictures through to Len that kind of give him an idea of what you actually look like, and they appear to be enough because those pictures are just absolutely brilliant. And you can decide what you want to do with it. $100 gets you your own caricature, so you get the original drawing from Len. But what you can also do is add on to that a banner that goes on our website. Now, you can put on anything you like there. If you've got a podcast, you can advertise your podcast on it. That's fine. If you've got, say, a school fete or a school charity event or something like that, or you want something that says happy birthday to your kids, then put that on. That's fine. No worries at all. And it'll go in the rotation of banners. I think we've got about 35 at the moment. And when you go on to BritishTechNetwork.com, each time you go to the page, you'll get a random banner show up. And your banner will go into that random splurge. You also get your access all areas pass that Batwinch has got there on that screen. And also what you get is your picture against the sticker bomb artwork. So that's, you know, all the shows are listed there on the sticker bomb in the background in blurred fashion. That'll come through to you. And you'll also get the sticker bomb artwork as an avatar that you can use on Twitter or anywhere else that you want as well. And it's yours to freely use. I've got mine set up so that my avatars on the, or my sticker bomb avatars on the back of my MacBook Air. Tell us the device that you want the skin made for, and we'll send you the artwork to the right size so that you can make it. So you get all of that for $100, okay? Which I think is a massive deal. So get in touch with us at btncaricatures@gmail.com if you would like that. It's very cool. We've also got UK2. UK2 have been absolutely brilliant in supporting us over the years. We've been with them now for 6 years, which is really, really cool. And we're going to be with them for plenty more, I think, as it goes. They've got loads and loads of offers. If you're in the UK and you want a domain or you want anything to do with web hosting, VPS, VPN, co-location services, dedicated servers, that, then these are the people to go and check out. They are absolutely fantastic. And not only have they given BTNers a lot of discount with the offer codes, which are all still valid, you can still use them, but they're looking to branch out and help out our US listeners specifically as well. So another arm of the parent company of UK2 are 100tb.com. And what's really nice about 100tb.com is the fact that they are the people that have provided the server that we are streaming live from at the moment. And you've seen there with Don can hold a real-time conversation with me effectively on the feed that's coming out. So everyone has been going on over years about, oh, I can't see the feed, you know, it's all heavily delayed. Everybody across the entire world gets our show 2 seconds after it happens. And that doesn't matter whether you're in Hawaii or whether you're in the States or whether you're in Liverpool. It doesn't matter. You still get it 2 seconds after, and that's thanks to 100tb.com. Dedicated servers for them start at $139 a month if you want to check them out. Tell them that UK2 sent you and tell them that British Tech sent you. And thanks very much for them for their support. And I've got to say, our streaming server, oh, my life. It's fast. It's mooey fast. And we've had some great feedback from people. Thanks so much to them for providing it. And thanks to Shads and Paul Wheatley as well for doing a lot of the setup on it. Because without that happening, I'd be sitting there going, what? Very good. Right. Now then, chaps, do we have any cool things? Start us off, Mr. Latournis.
Certainly. Happy to. I went back because, you know, I've only been on the show for, I guess, a couple months now. So I wanted to go back and see some of the things that I may have missed previously that are very cool. So I looked back at some of the iOS games that I've played and really enjoyed. And one that I loved is called The Silent Age. And it's a mystery game. It involves time travel. You are sort of this average Joe character involved in murder mysteries and science labs and going back and forth through time to solve different puzzles. It's so much fun, really engrossing, you know, really immersive game. It's free to play the first chapter. It ends a cliffhanger, I will let you know, that leads into chapter 2, which will set you back $5 US, but I think it's well worth it. I don't think it got as much attention as it should have because I think it came out around the same time as Monument Valley, which just blew everybody away and maybe stole a little of its thunder. But The Silent Age is lots of fun. Don't do it if you need to be very productive because you're going to want to spend a lot of time in it.
Excellent, mate. Good one. Did you say a price on that?
Yes, free to play the first chapter, and then like I said, it ends on a cliffhanger. Chapter 2 will cost you $5, and I hope that there are more chapters to come.
All right, excellent. Good one. Thank you, mate. Adam, what do you have for us?
I am going to do a pick called Flashlight, which a couple people have me, and I've just been playing around with it too much. But what it is it's a piece of software that you can run that will extend the universal search functionality in Spotlight. So you know how Spotlight, you can do some searches and it'll come up mm-hmm. with the results right in the search window.
Yeah.
Right. So you can get like Wikipedia. This extends that. So you can do, they have over 160 different sort of add-ons or plugins that you can add in and you can sort of pick and choose. So it can do things like the weather or Wolfram Alpha or Wikipedia. You can also do things like look for media files, GIFs. You can do IMDb searches, Netflix searches. I mean, the list goes on and on. One that I added immediately was the ability to, in the spotlight, like GIFs from Stack Overflow. You know, being a developer, I often need to search there for tips and hints and tricks. And it's an open source thing. So they actually, you can write your own plugins. I think they're written in Python. So they show you how to create with some JSON and some HTML on Python. If you have an aptitude for that, you can actually write your own plugins for this thing.
It looks like you're typing in kind of native English here, flowing English.
Yeah. So, you know, I can say, you know, what's weather in, you know, London, and it will show me the weather results right there in the spotlight window without having to open up a browser or go anyplace else. So it's really cool. About my only complaint with it right now is I think a lot of the plugins that spent the time on the actual results window. So for example, like IMDb searches just really brings back the web mobile view. And it'd be nicer if someone would extend that and maybe use the IMDb APIs or something like that to get the raw data and then actually parse it for the small area, right, that you have in that spotlight search result. But I think that would be entirely possible. Like I said, I haven't dug into it that far yet, but just conceptually, this thing is really cool because it really extends what it allows you to sort of extend what Apple has done or other developers to extend what's built in. So I thought it was pretty cool.
I mean, the thing is though that you're in at the ground level here. So anything that happens or develops, you're going to get the benefit of it, but it looks awesome. I've downloaded it.
So it's fun. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Excellent. Good stuff. Thank you, mate. Good, I like that. Great pick. Doc, what have you
got? I got two really quick ones, if I may. One of the first ones is from a company that I'm absolutely in love with. Any of you guys that have been to Macworld, you're familiar with these guys. They really do create incredible stuff just for the craftsmanship and the workmanship quality of it. And the reason why I'm doing two picks is because I don't want to be that deuce that just picks all Apple Watch stuff. Anyway, so Dodo Case. These guys make really cool stuff. They're making a dual charging organizer that allows you to stick in your phone and stick in your watch in the same little guy. It's going to run about $60 and charge them both simultaneously. I just always love the stuff that they make. They're very cool. Even at Macworld, when it was too busy for them to get in, they bought a van around like a food truck and they were slinging Dodo cases for 30% off out of the back of a food truck. It was just incredible stuff. So I'm just a big fan of these guys. So I thought I would share that for anyone who is getting a watch and wants something nice on the stand to put that on.
It looks like a book almost, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. That's how they roll, man. They're really, really, these guys are so incredible. The stuff that they make, it's so genius, and it doesn't look so uberly techy, which is I'm a real big fan of. Now the other one is a real simple pick. It's free. It's $2.99 if you want to unlock to support Adam, and not Adam Christensen, but the guy's name is Christopher Adams Overholt. So it's close to Adam Christensen. He's a UX designer out of California who invented an app that's designed for people that are starting to get great, meaning that we're starting to forget things. This app is called Cheat Sheet. And all it is a really simple little application that allows you to remember the things that you never remember, but you need to remember. Yesterday, I went to go pick up and for some reason, my information had gotten bumped out of the Walgreens, and they asked me, oh, what's your number and, you know, group ID? And I stopped carrying that stupid card around years ago because, well, I used to remember the number in the top of my head, and I just took a blank, and I went, And so while I'm fumbling around with Evernote to try to get at it, the lady's getting all irritated, and the eight people in line behind me are getting irritated. And then when I saw this app later on Apple World today, I was just like, yo, this would have been perfect because I could just flick my phone real quick and I can see from a notification slide down, you can put in any kind of things. It can be hotel numbers, it codes, it can be, you know, little secret number things that you need for keypads for an office or something. And you don't have to really say what it is. You give yourself little iconics in order to figure it out. But I think this app is pretty amazing and is definitely probably worth the $2.99 that you're going to give him if you want to unlock everything. Anyway, it's just beautiful, and it's going to be helpful for someone to forget everything.
Not to be confused with another application called Cheat Sheet, which looks like it does something different.
Yeah. He's also planning Apple Watch support.
Yes, I tried to not say that, Adam, because I just said I didn't want to pick watch things.
I'm saying it. You didn't say it.
Thank you, Adam. I love you.
Cool. Donald.
Right, and I must apologize distracted on this this week's show, because obviously I'm sort of testing things in the background and having a little play, so
I
apologize about
that.
We've
got a live
password and Twitterific installed on my watch already. It's fantastic. Oh. Anyway, pick for this week. Right, I'm going to go with, I'm having a big week on photos this week. This week's Screencast Online was all about photos, and next week as well. And there's one utility that will help you migrate if you're an iPhoto or Aperture user. I mean, you can migrate them as is. Aperture, it's really easy to merge libraries together, because it's best if you do actually migrate to photos that you have your libraries merged initially. Just makes it a lot easier. iPhoto, not so easy, because you can't actually merge libraries in iPhoto. But there's an application called iPhoto Library Manager from Fat Cat Software. And basically that allows you to go through, prune your libraries, look for duplicates. You can also merge your iPhoto libraries together for migrating across the photos if you want to. But it's a great application. They've brought a new one out, actually, called, it's called Power Photos, which is actually for photos, the new photos from Apple. And again, that allows you to search out duplicates. If you've got multiple libraries in photos, you can actually use that to sort of browse and search across all your libraries in one go, rather than having to open up individual libraries. So it's a really handy utility if you're into either iPhoto or photos. And if you buy iPhoto Library Manager, you actually get a free copy of Photo Libraries, or you can get the Photo Libraries, or Power Photos, sorry, as a separate application. But they're about $20, so go ahead and check those out over at Fat Cat Software.
Excellent, man.
That's great stuff.
Yeah, it's a really great application. I've covered I go on the show, but I keep finding it really useful to dip in and dip out of.
I've been getting requests, a lot of requests this week from people on email and Twitter saying, you keep going on about using Finder and the power that's in Finder for photos. What do you mean? So I'm going to do a screencast, as long as it's all right with you, Don. I don't want to step on anyone's toes.
But of course.
I just want to do the thing that I, effectively repeat the thing I did at Macworld last year. So I'll do that as a little screencast and stick it up on the feeds so you can see how to use Finder an awful lot more. But I mean, you get editing with photos and that kind of stuff. But really, in terms of controlling your files, you can't get more powerful than controlling it yourself is the bigger part of it. So I'll do that. I promise I'll do that in the next couple of weeks. My pick is the Rither Arms Steakhouse app for iPhone. For those of you that don't know the Rither Arms and don't follow me on Twitter, the Rither Arms is in Tadcaster in Yorkshire, and it is quite possibly, well, it's called the Palace of Meat by the locals. It's on Main Street in Rither, and that's the only street in Rither, to be honest. It's a little tiny village, but you go there. A guy named Tony owns it, who's Tony Ninny, is a lovely, lovely guy, and I went there on Tuesday night for dinner with a customer, and we got treated like kings. We had a 32 ounce rump T-bone steak. It was just unbelievable. It's cooked beautifully. The food, I had calf livers as a starter, which was a big mistake because I was struggling at the end. But they were just done beautifully. Tony's a very good chef, a very, very proper, high-end chef. But he started the Rither Arms 30 years ago. And it's absolutely stunning. If you haven't eaten there, you must put it on your bucket list. You really must.
You're taking me, right? When I go there in 2017?
I will drive the 4 hours to Yorkshire, mate, to get you to the Rither Arms, fear not. but the food is unbelievable. There's some pictures of the food on there, and there's the menus on there, and it's awesome. So please, please, please download that and have a look at it, and send a message to Tony. He's at the Rither Arms on Twitter. And also get yourself over there and get yourself the best steak you will ever eat in your entire life. They do a 52-ounce steak on there, and it's just obscene. It's enough meat for a family of four. Tony's eaten it. He ate it for charity. It sparkled in the top of it and that kind of stuff, and he said he finished it, but he regretted it for the next 2 days on the loop. Not that there was anything wrong with it, just too much of it. Excellent. Where can we get a hold of you, boys? Mr. Latunis.
Oh, Twitter is probably the best place, at Chuck Latornis. You can also find me at macworld.com, occasionally at the macobserver.com, randomaccess.com, two M's, two C's, two S's, which I'm trying to vamp that up again and put things that don't fit easily or in a timely manner on some of the larger sites and make that more of a personal tech blog. So check that out. And then finally, trailcamper.com, the intersection of high tech and high adventure. Oh, and I also want to wish everybody a very happy hairy wrist photo day.
Absolutely. Super.
All right, Don.
Adam, where are you, sir?
You can find me over at maccast.com, Maccast on Twitter, search for the show, Maccast on iTunes, you know, real easy. And I also do the iOS show, if you're more into iOS stuff, with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet. So you can check that show out as well.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Doc, where are you, sir?
You can find me all over the place on interwebs at D-O-C-R-O-C-K. That's at Doc Rock. And a lot of times you will find me on this network being the weird Yankee guy from Hawaii causing trouble. And that's on the Mac Show, the Big Show, occasionally the Pocket Show, things like that. Also on my blog, MacUser.pro, that I do with our other buddy Patrice and my buddy Drew, and the occasional Kelly.
And of course on The Pinch on this network.
On The Pinch, of course. The most epic thing in podcasting right now, you know.
It is. It's hot stuff. It really is hot.
It's the funniest thing I've ever been a part of, and I love it. It's so awesome.
And Don McAllister, where are you? Thank you so much for holding fire, because you sat and looked at that box for half an hour, mate. So I really appreciate that. That's fantastic.
You can find me over at screencastonline.com for my weekly video tutorials, and also across on Twitter as Don McAllister.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week as normal. Just keep watching on the calendar. If you go to the live page, britishtechnetwork.com/live, you can see at the bottom there is a calendar subscription. If you subscribe to that calendar, if we change any of the shows, we always change the calendar, and you'll get a notification, and you can set alarms off it and that kind of stuff. So, and a buzz on your wrist now, of course, don't forget. So you need to go and watch. We've also lost the email notification from live stream, because we've got the new thing, so that would help us as well tell you that there's a live show taking place. So do that if you can. See you soon. Thanks for listening.